Welcome to Adulting Decrypted. Today we're going to talk about jobs and interview skills. How fun is that? It's not going to be about Steve Jobs, just normal jobs.
That was going to be more fun with Steve. Steve's my bestie.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Was.
Okay. There you go. Trying to figure that one out.
Welcome to Adulting Decrypted. We are your hosts.
I'm Gene, and I'm starting my first year of college.
I'm Ashton. I'm a music performer, composer, and educator.
I'm Gideon, a high school senior.
I'm Roscoe, the dad. Those are my three sons, and this is Adulting Decrypted, where we discuss ways to become adults and the things we need to know to be successful in life.
Anybody better? Make any friends over the couple weeks since we talked about that in college?
Yeah, I mean, sorry, getting go.
No, please go.
Sorry, I met a new person named Stephen. Met him after a class. There's like cookies and stuff outside, so we just eat it and started talking about like how, like all this good stuff, you know, like how Jar Jar Binks is really a Sith Lord, you know, the good stuff.
Pause it.
Yep, all the good stuff.
Well, good. That's awesome that you met somebody new, and it was Steve. Was his last name Job? Or
Did a different person.
Yeah.
Gideon, you're about to say something about friends?
Oh, I was just going to answer that, like, I've just strengthened friendships, I guess, since last time. Talked to people that I don't talk to as much, but I don't know if any new friends were made.
Good. Hey, that's still progress. I was thinking a lot about tribes today. It was one of the things that we talked about, how to grow a tribe and jump into that circle. And just thinking, tomorrow I'm going skiing with a buddy that I used to work with, and I've been reaching out to just old contacts and friends and trying to rekindle kind of like what you did, Gideon. But I'm also talking to complete strangers just to practice it, because there's no cost. As we talked about transactional relationships, you might as well, hey, how you doing? You know, whatever, look like the weird guy. But it could be my age too. Yeah. So I guess before we get started on jobs, why do we need a job? Let's start there.
You need monies.
Yeah, but for what?
To live. Live.
Freaking everything, man. Like, you know, only the essentials, like food and water and shelter. You really, like, the only things you really need to survive. And to make life easier, like cars and being able to listen to podcasts.
Just those fun things, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things is I was looking at the rising cost of food, right? The rising cost of everything, really. From 2021, 8%, you know, increase, 5% the year after that. They're claiming just over 4% last year, which we know if you look at the cost of things, it's not true. So just to eat, right, you need a job. And then all the other fun stuff you guys talked about. You know, it's kind of scary right now. Just, and you guys are, I don't know if you guys are feeling this yet. This year being 2024, we've already lost over 10,000 tech jobs. Pretty big drop.
Would that be from AI and stuff like that?
Some of it's AI. Some of it's just the fact that poorly ran programs and processes, you know, and lost 260,000 in the last quarter of 2023. So a lot of people are getting hit with the job, get lost, right?
Yeah.
They say that they're adding jobs. You know, you look at some of the bureau statistics and they say there's about 1.2 jobs for every person. But if you look at them, those are your lower end, your fast food, some of those jobs that aren't really desired. It's not saying they're not important, not as highly sought, which has led to, and a listener will post this on our blog, but if you look at the educated job seeker, right now the interview process without receiving an offer has happened about 52% of the people, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I saw a video the other day. It was of a guy, he was actually in the tech industry, but he said he applied for thousands of jobs and hadn't received a single offer in over 6 months.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
It's happening, you know, and it is. And What's interesting on that, though, Ashton, is the high school diploma guy is actually getting more callback than the college guy because the demand for pay and the jobs that are there. So really, that's why it's important what we're going to talk about tonight. And really, the premise is being ready for the job interview, being ready to present yourself, talk to yourself. So that's what we're going to cover tonight with Adulting Decrypted. The first thing that is critical is your communication skills. We've talked about communication. Right? We were just talking about how to find a friend. But the verbal communication and nonverbal communication and then listening skills are kind of the three areas to cover in the communication skills. Verbal communication.
Exactly what we're doing. Talking. I presume.
Nope. Yeah. It's very valid. And then we get the nonverbal. What's the nonverbal?
Hand gestures, like the way you hold your body, what you do with your hands while you're talking, your face expressions, all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Great, Dean. And then the listening skill. What's an active listener? I like the smile, Gideon. That's a good active listening, maybe.
Well, I just smile because I think of a blog post that we had.
Yeah, about how to make friends in college, right?
Yeah. And you had to be an active listener. So.
That's right. So verbal communication in a job interview, it's important to articulate, use proper language for the group that you're trying to impress, right? If you don't want to use some of your street slang, you know, or you don't want to, you want to think through, how do I want to present? What do I need to present? Who am I talking to? And then nonverbal communication, Gene, you just did a great example of it where you're shaking your head. You're like, yeah, like what Dad's saying, I'm buying into that.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that?
I've heard this statistic. I don't remember where it was. I don't remember how true it is. But like, what was the percent? I think it was like 80% of the communication we pick up on is nonverbal. And then it's like 30% is like, no, and then it's like 20% is what you, 10% is what you say, and then 20% is how you say it, or something like that. I don't know, but
yeah, I think you're right. I think there's a lot of it is how we're engaged in the room. For example, when I'm in a job interview situation, I'm sitting on the front of my seat. I'm not hunched back. I'm not laid back. Even if the interviewer is, right, I slide myself forward. I get to the edge of my seat, not in their face, but I'm leaning forward. I'm sitting straight. I'm looking them in the eye. Right? Those are all nonverbal. It's all critical. It also blows into that, or rolls into the listening skill that we're talking about. We're actively listening. Any questions on communication? I feel like we've covered that quite a few.
Yeah, I think so.
So the next one is company research. And back when I was doing this initially, when I was looking, a lot harder to find about company. And trying to do some research on the company and understand what their mission was, what their values were, what do they think's important. It's all critical as far as the interview process. Finally interviewing with the company, how do you find this information?
I mean, every company's got a website base.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, any other thoughts?
Well, I mean, you can find their mission statement if you know someone that's worked there for them before. Like I applied for a job once. It was using drones to map out like house ceilings. So like for reshingling stuff. And did not do great at that job interview. But something I could have done was maybe talk to the individual who gave me the lead about what that sort of culture was like and what people were looking for. Didn't do that.
I like that. Reach out to your network, right? Especially if you know somebody that's in the industry or at the company. I found it pretty interesting when I went for my Amazon job interview. There's people that are actually doing blogs and a bunch of stuff on YouTube about how do you be successful at Amazon job interview. They told me exactly what they're going to ask. And then when I was being an interview for Amazon and I was interviewing people, I was surprised at how many people didn't even Google it. Didn't even look and say, what are some of the questions you're going to ask? What's the STAR method? You know, which is what they're big. It's subject, time, and like how you contributed. I can't for all the stuff now. Go look it up real quick. In 30 seconds, I can tell you what it is. And so that research is important.
But yeah, having to look it up would not serve you.
Well, no, but if I knew that going into it, I'd be prepared.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's sitting in the interview, it's a little late.
That's something that kind of strikes me as interesting, because when I've gone to jobs before, it's been like, okay, yeah, well, I'm going to go over this place, but it's mainly for your less sought after jobs, like you were talking about, like working as like a janitor at a movie theater, working food or like retail with Walmart. I think it's not one of those places that are going to have a bunch of those bigger things. But yes, if you're trying to impress, I'd say definitely look it up. Something I never thought of before.
In this tight of a job market, it probably makes sense to look it up. And more so on the next point I was going to bring up, Gene, which is understand the role you're going in. Right. So if you're going in, for me, I'm looking at a hiring job. I'm going to look at what did that company do? One of the questions I asked was, why did the last person leave? You know, so I'm digging into what their roles and responsibilities are before I even sit down.
Yeah. And I like where you're going with that too, is not just answering questions, but asking questions as well. I'm not sure if that's later on your list, but I know
active listening, we've covered it. So this is, I love fair. Where your head's at.
That's fair. And like, yeah, just as a further explanation of active listening is, like I said, just coming in even with some questions, like you said, why'd the last person leave? Or like one that I heard from my marketing teacher at MTech, Mountain Lion Technical College, is what is the best day and the worst day at work look like?
I like that.
And if they're like, oh, there's no worst day, you know you're not talking to the right person. Because there's always a worst day. So it's like, and that'll, you know, show you part of the work environment, and just be prepared with interesting questions, and that can give you more of an assertive nature in your interview.
Yeah, I love it. And, you know, some of those questions, this isn't where you say, what's the pay? How many hours do I have to work a week? You know, but you're asking kind of thought-provoking questions. What's your big goals that you're trying to? I loved it when somebody did ask, you know, what are you trying to get done? Where's your company going? So I give the listener a little perspective. I know my kids know this, but I've probably interviewed over 2,000 people for jobs. I do a lot of warehousing. So I interview a lot of people. And you'd be surprised at what people tell me in an interview. First off, that I'm not allowed to ask. and I'm not even allowed to make a note of it, but it makes me very uncomfortable sometimes, some of the stuff that's been said. You know, and I just disclose, you know, while we're talking about this a little bit, you know, as you're preparing and researching the role, look at, as we're trying to figure out the company culture, I hired a lot of felons because of what I do. I'm not afraid of it, but I will ask a follow-up question, right? The only time that I've had to fire people is if they don't disclose, if they're not up front, if they don't tell us, because it's one of the questionnaires, Mark. Just be honest.
And one thing that I think is interesting is that you said, think about what job you're going in for. Because it reminded me of an experience where it was when I was at Walmart. I went there and I applied for a couple different positions there because I was just looking for a job. And then when I got there, they talked to me. They did the interview. They're like, sweet, you're hired. And I'm like, sweet. And they're like, oh, yeah, we never told you what you were interviewing for. I'm like, no, I don't know at all. Awesome. And so that's something that I thought was interesting.
That is an experience I also had at Walmart. Throwing that in there.
Funny thing, the experience I had at Walmart, I didn't even have an interview. They just started talking about schedules. I'm like, I guess I'm hired. Like, I don't know. I didn't even have to talk to anybody about it. So,
and all three of you guys were hired when it was really what I would call an employee market, meaning that people were looking for employees so bad. Hey, Gideon, you breathe? You have a pulse? Come get a job.
Well, yeah, right? It was that big boom of like online buying during COVID and like self-shopping and like just the whole market was changing in that sphere.
Yeah. So, hey, and now we're more in a employer's market. So you need to employ, like how I did that, some of these techniques. So when you're talking about the role that you want to tailor your answers towards that role. So, for example, Ashton, I love that you said you talked about going in and being a shop. I don't know. What are those called? GDP? GPIs?
OGP.
OGP. So, I've done a little bit of research.
I did not remember that.
What was it called?
OGP, Online Grocery Pickup.
Look at that. How fancy is that acronym? So you're going in for that job, and you're trying to figure out who you're, what you're going to do. Reach out to one of your friends who's doing it. You might know somebody there. You might go watch a little bit, see what people are doing. Say, hey, you know, do you mind if I ask you what job you're doing here at Walmart? They'll tell you. Most people don't care. They're just doing a job, and you can figure out a little bit. That way you can tailor your answers towards it. For example, Ashton, what's a strength if I'm interviewing you for an OGP role? I'd say, hey, what's one of your strengths? What might be an answer you could give me?
I'm really good at lifting milk.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit more about that experience?
Oh, yeah. Well, all growing up, my parents, well, my mom, she'd come home from Costco and be like, I just bought, you know, 18 gallons of milk. Can you carry them? I'm like, I got you. And I do that. And so.
Did you say 18 gallons?
1/8. I mean, sometimes it was more, sometimes it was less. It just kind of depends.
That's how Ashton did. We'll rate him in a second. Gene, if I were to ask you the same question, hey, Gene, what makes you qualified for OGPTQXYZ? I can't remember what. I can't remember where I stopped that.
Well,
right after the.
Well, one strength I feel like I have that would fit well with this job is being able to quickly but correctly identify items.
That's perfect. What a great answer. And I'd be like, oh, yeah. So I forgot to tell you what you're interviewing for. No. But yeah. Yeah. That's a great answer, right? So he made it relevant to their job. It is one of Gene's skills. We would all agree that he identifies products and that he knows how to move quickly. So that's great. Great answer. There was no lying. There was no fibbing. It was very honest and direct. Yeah. So any thoughts on that before we move on to the next point? The next one that's pretty important is to be adaptable. And what that means is they're probably going to give you a problem-solving question. Right, especially if you're going for a higher-end job, be ready to discuss a situation where you faced a challenge and how you overcame it, right? I've been asked that question probably, I've had 8 real jobs with W-2 jobs, and I've been asked in every one of them, tell me your biggest challenge and how did you overcome it? Amazon's was worded a little bit different. Tell me about the most money you've ever saved and how did you accomplish it? But it's the same principle. Gideon, how would you answer that job and what job would you be going for? So not saying OGP, but let's say it's a different company. I'd say, what's one of your biggest obstacles and how did you overcome it?
Hello. If you're listening to this right now, that means you're currently listening to an episode of Adulting Decrypted. And let me just say thank you. My name's Ashton, one of the hosts of Adulting Decrypted, and I wanted to steal a quick second of your time to do a shameless little plug. If you've listened to our podcast for any sort of time, you know that we talk about a bunch of different stuff all about adulting, because our goal is to help individuals in this task we call adulting. Now, we have just revamped the way that we do this. If you go to adultingdecrypted.com, you can see all of our episodes sorted out by category. We've sorted it into financial, practical, emotional, social, and things just for fun. So, if any of those categories are of particular interest to you right now, you can go onto the website, look through there, and see all of our episodes that correlate with that specific thing. This website's completely free to use. It's just another tool for our listeners to find things that are more important to them now. So, for example, if I was looking at it, I'd scroll through and say, hey, you know what? I want to see what the Adulting Decrypted crew has talked about socially. Well, one of our first episodes, season 1, episode 3, How Do I Talk to People? That's where we talked about all how to talk to people. So if that's something you want right now, you can go find that right now. Also in this one, season 3, episode 15, The Power of a Humble Mediator, where we talked to one of my old bosses about his business as a mayor, also as a small theater owner. Some really cool stuff.
So if you're looking for a better way to organize through all your self-help podcasts, try adultingdecrypted.com and enjoy the rest of the episode.
One of the biggest obstacles that I face is knowing the right thing to do, the right decisions to make. And how I often overcome those is laying out pros and cons, as well as seeing where I would like to be in the future, maybe looking at my goals, and then I can correctly and accurately make those decisions.
Perfect. See, employers value somebody that's one, insightful, right? Gene said, I've never done this, listener. With both in the back, it's hard again. Gideon looked at himself and said, hey, that's a great question. One of the things I have is there's so many options in today's world. There's so many opportunities. I have to make a pro and con list, and then I know which way to go. Showed you can critically think, you can prioritize. Employers love that kind of stuff. Great answer. Well, that would be, you know, the ability to solve a problem and have these stories kind of in the back of your mind. I have 8 or 9 case studies that I have ready to go at a drop of a hat, because now instead of traditionally getting job interviews, I'm now talking to business owners and telling them how I can help them. And so some of that is me still doing the research. What's their problem? What's going to be their biggest problems? What's their values? What's important to them? The next one is in adaptability is be flexible. What's one of the things we say? The only thing that's certain in life is change. Everything's always changing. They want a candidate who can succeed in changing circumstances or even unseen, because they don't know everything, especially on some of these higher end jobs. So you'd want to think of a story of, when was I adaptable? What did I do that was adaptable? What did I do to help facilitate a change or process? What would one of those questions look like if an employer is trying to gauge your flexibility?
So what would be a question I'd ask as an employer, or how would I answer as an employee?
Well, yeah, what would a, because sometimes we think, how do I answer a question, but we don't think of all the questions. What would be one of the questions an employer would ask? That really they're asking, how adaptable are you? One question that comes to my thought is, how do you do with ambiguity? How do you do if I don't define every step of your job for you? And can you tell me about a situation where you've had that and how you succeeded?
I think another one that I think of is if you're talking about changing processes, is like, have there been any situations where you've gotten into something and you've had to change the whole process? Like, have you ever been tasked with this job that you're volunteering before? So have you demonstrated the skill that you claim to be?
Right. And so you're asking them exactly for a very specific example. That's a great point, Acton. Asking somebody how they adapted in a changing environment or having to revamp a whole system really helps me as an employer evaluate, are you the right candidate for this changing environment that I'm currently in and that you can help me with? And then there's other times, if I was interviewing like a quality control person, I'd want to say, well, tell me about a time that you were able to repeat a task over and over. And you need to think through that on the fly. But if you know what job and what role you're going for, you've probably thought of some of those questions and how they pertain to you.
Another question I'd bring up for flexibility, kind of like a on the same side of it, but at a different perspective, would be, like, has there ever been a time when you've dealt with a hard customer or someone that's brought opposition to you? If so, how are you able to, how was that experience like for you?
How would you answer that question, Gene? Just out of accent.
Well, you see, what I would talk about is the second call that happened that night that you guys are thinking of, where we talked and he's like, they're very kind. And I'm like, okay, so like you realize that this didn't happen. So I was able to go to someone else who knew the answer and be able to talk to them like, hey, what do we offer that can help them in this situation? And so that we're able to write down the product, find it, and give it to them all nice and dandy. Unlike the first situation, which didn't go quite as well. Let's just put it that way. Because there wasn't anyone else for me to talk to. And they were getting mad at me for that. And it was really busy and other part was stressful, but I'd probably do better now, maybe.
I love that you realized you had two situations you could have shared and you chose the one that showed that you demonstrated fortitude and courage and changed, right? Even if somebody said, hey, Gene, I was listening to the podcast. I heard you said, my name's Gene, come at me. You could say, yeah, that's a great story. And that is pretty funny. However, I grew from that experience and this is what I learned. Right. And then you go into that story of how, oh, the next customer, after I evaluated how I handled the one before, employers aren't upset that you screwed up, you know, unless if you did it on my watch, right? Or it was blatant. I had one employer when I first started, I lost him 10 grand right out of the chute. And I said, oh, Mark, are you going to fire me? He goes, why did I fire you? I just spent 10 grand training you. You know, and I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Well, then I found him 20 grand and I said, look, I made you 20 grand. Do I get a bonus? He goes, I didn't take the 10 grand away from you. I'm not going to give you my 20 grand because you saved it. You know, so it was really helpful for me, but I could share that story now in a positive light like Gene is doing. Hey, I realized that I needed to slow down and check my numbers before I spoke. And this is the bad and this is what good came from it. And this is what I. So it's not a bad thing necessarily to share a bad experience as long as it has a great ending. The next one is emotional intelligence. And really, we put a lot of emphasis on this right now in the society. Long gone are the days that I can walk into work and be like, there was some guys at Ford that had a rule that told their employees, you can't talk to me for 30 minutes because my coffee hasn't. And he would always use some explicitives. He was a supervisor and he'd say, don't talk to me for 30 minutes. Leave me alone. Not really emotionally intelligent, right? He's very much old school. So the first thing is to be self-aware. And the next one is to show empathy. So self-awareness is understand your strengths, weaknesses, areas of focus, things you're trying to grow. What are you trying to improve on? Be prepared to share those experiences like Gene just shared. Other experiences, I like the way you worded yours, Gideon. Well, I know that I struggle sometimes making a decision. This is how I handle it. That shows an employer that you're really intuitive and really thinking. You understand what it takes to be successful. So when they say, what's your greatest success, what are you going to tell them? Are you going to tell them a time did a backflip off of a ski jump? Is that probably what they're looking for?
I think that could depend on what job you're applying for.
Totally agree. Because you've done your research, right?
Yeah, if your boss is a skier, it could work too.
So there are times, and you're showing emotional intelligence. And then there's other times that might not show what you need them to. And that's situational. The second time I went to teach skiing, I showed up in a suit. I think I've shared that story with you guys. Not really the right outfit or costume or presentation. She wasn't offended. She wasn't bugged. She's just like, oh yeah, you're a little overdressed, but I appreciate the effort. You know, so it wasn't, but sometimes you got to be familiar with your surroundings. I love going into a company and already knowing what the culture is and dressing one step better just to show that I respect, but I'm not going to show up in a suit and tie.
Well, and knowing the culture too, in tandem with emotional intelligence, when I was working at a movie theater, it was like after school and I was like, well, I went home and I showered. I was running late, and I walked in probably 2 to 5 minutes late. It wasn't super late, but still late. And my manager, we like had a fun relationship, and so when I walked in, he's like, what the heck, and pretended to be super upset about it. But the general manager was sitting in the office, and I heard this, and he came out and pulled me into his office, and he was like, why were you late? And I told him, I was like, oh yeah, I set an alarm because I was taking a shower, and I missed it, and so I... And he goes, well, what can you do better next time? And I said, come up with a better story. Now, it would have landed with my manager. But he was like, so you're lying to me. And I was like, no. I was just trying to be funny, but I'm sorry. No, next time I'll do this. I don't remember what I said. But yeah, so knowing your audience is important.
Thank you so much, Ashton. I love the great story. The other one is show empathy on that emotional intelligence side. Try and come understand what the employer's looking for. They could be having a stressful day, right? They could be having a lot. And then what would their colleagues and what other clients or supervisors be, right? A good question would be, well, who's your customer? You know, who am I going to be serving? How am I going to be helping? So you're showing empathy. You're trying to get into their shoes and understand what's going on in their culture. I really believe one of the reasons why I landed this client is I'm like, I've sat in your chair. And when you're done on Friday afternoon, you're tired. You can't do anymore. You just want to go home and relax. Yeah, you nailed it. That's right where I'm at. That's what I'm feeling at the end of it. You don't need a consultant telling you what to do. You're tired. You're done. So in the job interview skill, I knew the position. I knew what I was going for. And I showed some empathy. I talked through what she's probably feeling. Is that harder to do on an hourly transactional job? Maybe. But maybe not. What are some of the things you can now empathize? Having worked at Walmart, what are some of the things you could empathize that a manager's going through in a given day?
Employees not showing up, calling in sick the last minute, and just rude customers, having to manage everybody's schedules and get it just nice and neat so that it works for everybody, even though it's never going to just work for everybody.
And right there, Gene, you hit it on the head. You're like, hey, I'm on time. I show up. I'm going to do the work that you asked me to do. Right? That could be one of your strengths. You know, I appreciate that people call off. I try and show up for all my shit. You know, something like that. You're playing towards that. Sometimes I get the worst shift and I'm not really excited about it, but you're not going to hear me complain. You know, whatever it is. Even if you are going to complain, you just want to put forward a good attitude. And that's the next step. And last one I have is positive attitude. Enthusiasm goes a long way. I've sat and interviewed person. I look across the desk and think, are you here because you want to be here? Or is your significant other, is your parole officer? Who's making you come and sit here across the table from me? Because right now, you don't want to be here. And I don't want you here because I'm tired of this interview already. How does enthusiasm show up when you're in that environment?
I know this isn't quite the question that you're going after, but a point that I would like to add is the difference between confidence and arrogance. Because, like, confidence. I love
it. That is my next point, Gideon. So you must be reading from my playbook. So, yeah, talk about confidence. I love it.
Just, I feel like confidence can tie with enthusiasm.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of confidence is like, feeling good about yourself. And when you're feeling good, a lot of it translate into enthusiasm. So if you're feeling good, you're like, you know, like you said, excited to be there. You're confident and you just look a lot better to the interviewer, like you had said that.
You know, as Reddit's where we get some of our topics, I have good conversation with listeners, so I appreciate it. And one of the questions that was asked is, do I shake the hand of the person before or after the interview? What's your answer to that?
Why not both?
You hit it. You said exactly what I did. I said, extend your hand on both on the start and the end because it shows confidence. Look them in the eye. And then to your point, Gideon, arrogance is, I don't need this job. This job's below me. What, you want me to be an OGP? I'm an OG, brother. I don't need OGP.
You know that's right.
That's right. Rolling down the street. Anyway.
Living in the 801.
That's right.
The 80, or 385, depending on what generation you're from.
Or when your parents got your cell phone for you. Yeah, so show forward that confidence. You're excited about the job. You're enthusiastic about what you're doing. And let's be honest. You should be excited about life anyways. If you finally got the job interview, you're excited to be there. If this is just a practice job, you're just excited to talk to somebody. It does you no good to show up and be angry and bitter. If that's the day that you're having, call off. Say, hey, look, it's not the right time for me. And I don't want to be here. Whatever. I'd much rather have you cancel coming into a job interview than coming in angry, bitter. So there, we did not cover in this episode because I don't think it's relevant. You can easily Google what are the top five interview questions. So go Google them. Go look at them. Go figure out what people are going to ask you.
We've talked about them before, too. So
it's true.
Yeah.
But now I want you to think about the top five things that you can do to prepare, which is what we've talked about, which is being work on your communication skills, prepare and research the company, be adaptable, show emotional intelligence, and have a positive attitude.
Yeah. Thanks, Dad, for rounding it all up. And of course, like always, we'd love to hear how your experiences go. Like Dad said, we have a Reddit, and I think we have a Reddit page. Yep, we have a subreddit. So, you know, add your stories there. We'd love to hear them. And if you don't have Reddit, we also have
everything else. Like,
yeah, all the social medias. DM us or email us even.
Hey, you know, Gideon, along those lines of DM, I had somebody DM me directly and ask, hey, can I share your episode? Listener, remember back to episode 3, it was on sextortion. Sorry, for some reason, I struggle with that word. Reached out to me and said, hey, can I share this with my dad? Because he's also in that age group and there's a victim group. And I did some more research and found out that two-thirds of the victim right now in 2023 were actually 50 and older. And why wouldn't they be? They have the most money to target. So didn't think about it, but she did because she was thinking of her dad. So thank you for doing that. I'm not going to disclose your name because I don't want to embarrass you, but happy to drop names in here. This isn't one that I should, though. But so, yeah, please message us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Adult and Decrypted. We really enjoyed having this week's conversation, and we hope you did as well.
If you ever want to comment on a topic, you can send us a message to our website, adultingdecrypted.com, our email, adultingdecrypted@gmail.com, or through our Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn accounts at adultingdecrypted.
If you have any topics for the show that you would like us to talk about, or if you are a parent and want us to talk about something your kid should know, send us a message on any of the accounts mentioned. If you'd like to be a guest or have an idea for someone you think we should have on our show, feel free to send us an email detailing your thoughts to adultingdecrypted@gmail.com. Adulting is teamwork.
We have merch. If you want to show off your Adulting Decrypted pride, check out our website, adultingdecrypted.com, or our partner website with shop.spreadshirt.com/adulting-decrypted. Lastly, if you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting us on our Patreon at Adulting Decrypted. Along with the benefits that come with our Patreon, and trust us, there are some pretty good ones in there, you will not only be helping us continue in the effort to make great content, but you will be part of a community of individuals all trying their best to adult.
We appreciate you listening, enjoying, and leaving your positive reviews. Now, the special song from Gene and Gideon.
Yep, I can hear him. Can you hear me? I can't really tell.
You sound fine to me. Gene, does he sound fine to you? Recording started at 1:01. That's. I got a free trial of Bosa Watch. Like, there's no time limit. Because I used a different app. But I have to start this.
Messing with
audio. Okay.
I got it. Yeah. Oh, I was just changing it.
Yeah. Screen recording started at measure 66. Gene, have you started recording yourself?
I did, yes.
Gene started recording before 50.
Do you want me to stop and start again?
No. The longer the better. It was actually relatively simple lining up the audio files with the video. I was surprised.
That's good.
I believe I have done everything I need to do.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Adult and Decrypted. We really enjoyed having this week's conversation, and we hope you did as well.
If you ever want to comment on a topic, you can send us a message to our website, adultingdecrypted.com, our email, adultingdecrypted@gmail.com, or through our Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn accounts at adultingdecrypted.
If you have any topics for the show that you would like us to talk about, or if you are a parent and want us to talk about something your kid should know, send us a message on any of the accounts mentioned. If you'd like to be a guest or have an idea for someone you think we should have on our show, feel free to send us an email detailing your thoughts to adultingdecrypted@gmail.com. Adulting is teamwork.
We have merch. If you want to show off your Adulting Decrypted pride, check out our website, adultingdecrypted.com, or our partner website with shop.spreadshirt.com/adulting-decrypted. Lastly, if you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting us on our Patreon at Adulting Decrypted. Along with the benefits that come with our Patreon, and trust us, there are some pretty good ones in there, you will not only be helping us continue in the effort to make great content, but you will be part of a community of individuals all trying their best to adult. We appreciate you listening, enjoying, and leaving your positive reviews. Now, the special song from Gene and Gideon.